Amen. Thank you, Carol. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 1. Good to see Ben Potter here. And I got to come, just for tonight, right? And then going back. Oh, you're here for the week? Very good. All right. We'll look forward to seeing you then. But glad Ben could come. Ben is such a blessing, and I'm so proud of him there at Grace Baptist there in Gaylord and serving the Lord in the bus ministry, teaching in the college, teaching English. I wonder where he got that from. But anyway, just doing so well, and just so proud of him. We got to spend some time with the Jenkins last fall, and I kind of checked up on you a little bit, and just good things, all good things, and I knew that. And praise the Lord for that. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 1, the Bible says, "But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." We are not ignorant of his devices. I want to talk to you about the devil's devices tonight. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God that we can know the devil's devices. We're not ignorant. If we are ignorant, it's because we have not read our Bibles. If we're ignorant, we've not paid attention to preaching. So because you've given us the Word of God and you've given us preaching and teaching and Sunday school, we are aware of the devil's devices. And I pray you'll challenge us tonight with these truths from the Word of God, that we would be very, very cautious, that we would never, ever, ever give Satan any kind of advantage where he can overcome us, where we can be overcome with sin. And so please speak to us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Again, we are not ignorant, Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. We know we have the Bible, we have the Word of God. Most of us went to Sunday school this morning. If we're not, we taught Sunday school. We had a class. We had the Bibles open. Many here are in a Christian school, and you hear the Word of God, and you hear it in Bible class. You hear it in chapel times. We're not ignorant. We have our Bibles. We all have raised our hands several times. We have more than one Bible in our homes, and we often open those, and we should open those up and read. And we're not ignorant of his devices. Oh, we've been tricked by him. Everybody here has, right? We have been led astray. We've heard his call, and we've followed him, and we've let him guide us into some kind of a pit or a trap or some sort. We have all, at one time or another, we've been taken advantage. He has gotten an advantage over us, but so we're not ignorant. We're not ignorant of what he uses. We're not ignorant of the things that he uses to trip us, to cause us to stumble, to lead us astray. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices, and he has many devices that he uses. We live in a day where there are people that worship Satan. There are people that openly. There is a church of Satan. I would not ask you, I don't want you to Google it. I would rather you not. I'd rather, if you want to learn anything about the devil, read it in your Bible. That's the best place to look, and that's the most honest place to look, and you won't get in trouble studying your Bible. But there are places and where Satan is worshipped, and there are human sacrifices in some countries, animal sacrifices probably right in our area that go on because of Satan worship. And these people, they want to study his teaching. They want to learn about him. Don't you? Don't you? You don't need to study his teaching any further than the Bible. You don't need to look up a cult. You don't need to Google the word occult. You don't need to Google Satan. You know, you're better off just study your Bible. It tells you enough. It tells you, look out. It tells you to be careful. It tells you, you know already his devices. Why? We know what's caused us to fall. We know the sin that does so easily beset us. Well, trust me, he's going to use that device on you because he already knows it's worked before. We don't have to look any further than the Bible. The Bible makes it very, very clear. And so we're going to use the Bible tonight, and I want to show you seven of his devices, seven of the devil's devices. I doubt that this would be considered exhaustive. In fact, I've looked up and certainly could have given more things, but kind of everything does sort of tie together. The first device he uses, which I think is, we all would believe, oh yeah, well, I know that, and that is disobedience. Disobedience. Look at Isaiah 14 and verse 12. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. And one thing I've learned, and I learned this as a new Christian, and so I've known it for many years now, and that is, it doesn't really matter, and he doesn't care how big a sin you commit. He doesn't care how deep your disobedience. He just wants you to disobey. Right. It doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter if you go murder somebody or if you steal something. He just wants us to disobey. That's one of his devices. Just get them to disobey. It doesn't matter how bad the disobedience. You know, we like to look around and say, oh, you know, I'm bad, but I'm not as bad as that person. I've done wrong, but it's not as wrong as them. We say it all the time. We want to compare ourselves with everybody. But what you have to understand is the devil doesn't care who was worse, who did the worst thing. It doesn't matter. He just wants you to disobey. He just wants a child to roll their eyes at their parents. That's all. It doesn't matter. It's not if the child doesn't wash the dishes. It's if the child has a rotten attitude while they wash the dishes. He just wants you to disobey. He just wants the adult to simply disobey, and it doesn't matter how big it is. You say, well, you know, I was tempted to steal something at the store, but I never stole anything. But then you came to church and didn't tithe. You see, I'm just saying, you say, well, I won't go to jail for not tithing. No, but you'll pay your tithe one way or the other, I guarantee. It's going to happen. It's going to come out somehow. But it doesn't matter how big a thing it is. He just disobey. And notice Isaiah 14 and verse 12. The Bible says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. Notice all the eyes here, all right? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I will do this. I will do that. And Satan, if he can get you to disobey God, you're really no different than him saying, I'll do what I want to do. And if he can make us no different than him, then, boy, that's a pretty big thing. That's one of his devices. You know, one of his devices, disobedience. You know, the Bible says that to obey is better than sacrifice. Isn't that something? I mean, I think about the Old Testament. We read about that and all the Old Testament sacrifices and how many times in my mind as I'm reading this and the Bible says it was a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord, and in my mind I see God breathing in and a big smile on his face because that sacrifice was such a blessing. It was a sweet-smelling sacrifice to the Lord. And the Bible says to obey is better than that. That means every time a child obeys, every time a teenager obeys, every time an adult obeys, every time a pastor obeys, every time a wife obeys, every time a husband obeys, every time a worker obeys, every time a Sunday school teacher obeys, hey, it is better than God says, it's better than sacrifice. It's better. And to hearken, to listen, to do it, than the fat of rams, that fat of rams cooking, that fat of rams burning up on that altar, and that smell going to God and him saying, it's better to obey. Rebellion, the Bible says, is as the sin of witchcraft. Well, I know we don't like it. But again, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much we disobey. It's disobedience. Disobeying. God says it. And we can justify any sin. All of us do. Otherwise, we wouldn't sin. We make it okay. Well, you know, people will understand. I hear this all the time. Well, people understand. Well, yeah, we all understand because we're all sinners. Amen. I mean, somebody says, I had to do this thing because I just was tempted so much. Well, I understand. I've been tempted so much too. We all understand, but it doesn't make it right. And it's disobedience, and it's one of the devil's devices. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And every time we disobey, what are we doing? We're doing our own way. We're doing it our own way. Dad says, son, take out the trash. And the son rolls his eyes and says, I don't want to take out the trash. What are you doing? Your own way. Yeah. And you say, son, take out the trash. And the son says, you know what? I don't want. And pretty soon there's a board meeting. Should be. Amen. Amen. And you know what? Why? Because we are to obey. By the way, God still has board meetings too. Why? Because he wants us to obey. Why? Obedience is better than sacrifice, to obey. And every one of us, you know, we have fallen for this thing that, well, I'm not as bad as that person. I'm not doing as bad as that person. I'm not as bad as, there. You know what? You're always going to find somebody worse than you. But the whole thing is what's going on in our hearts, and we're just like the devil when we disobey. It doesn't matter how big. Okay, you know, do you suppose eating a piece of fruit's a bad thing? Plunge mankind into sin. Just a piece of fruit. Amen. That was it. Piece of fruit. What was the big deal of the piece of fruit? Disobedience. That's all. It wasn't, hey, Adam, I want you to go kill somebody. It wasn't, Adam, I want you to go steal something. It wasn't, Adam, I want you to go, have Eve get an abortion. It wasn't. We want to blame all. We want to get all bent out of shape. And we should. But folks, our disobedience is one of the devil's devices, getting us to disobey. By the way, this is a Sunday night crowd. There's no better people in the world than sitting right here. I mean, this is a good group of folks. But you know what? It's just that disobedience. It's one of the devil's devices. And we have to understand that it pleases God when we obey, just like it pleases you, parents, when your children obey. It pleases God when we obey. Number two is deceit. Deceit. John chapter 8, verse 44. One of the devil's devices. Why? Well, the word of God is truth. The word of God is truth. God is, let God be true and every man a liar. John chapter 8, verse 44. John 8, 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Who's that written to? That's us. That's all of us. Before we got saved. I mean, seriously, we are going to do those things. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. Do you understand? No truth in the devil at all. None. There is no truth in Satan. Okay? Oh, he's so slick, though. He's such a liar. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Deceit is one of the devices of the devil. He started out with Adam and Eve, and immediately, what did he say to Eve? Oh, you won't die. You're not going to die. Well, God said, yeah, but you won't die. He lied. You know, he is a deceiver. And he's the opposite of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, all lies originate with Satan. All lies start right there. And he is an expert at deceit. He tells people there's no hell. Come on, you go soul winning, and I don't know how many people, you know, out of a percentage, maybe 50% of the people you talk to, they'll say, there's no hell. You know, they're going to go to hell because they were deceived. They're going to burn in hell for eternity because they were lied to, because there is a hell. He tells you, you know, and tells us, well, just do your own thing. It's okay. Oh, God won't care. We hear more of that junk today than we've ever heard. I'm serious. And it's growing. God doesn't care what you do. That's a lie. That is a lie. Why did he send his son to die on a cross? To pay for what? Our sins. God does care what we do. And Satan says, do your own thing. You know, come on. It's like the kids, when we were growing up, remember? You won't get caught. Boy, that was a lie. How many of you got caught? Oh, yeah. Chuck's even raising his hand. Chuck, you'll have to tell me about that later. But I'm telling you, they all say, you won't get caught. Doesn't Satan tell us that? All the time. Oh, it's not going to affect you. Oh, you're a good person. You're a good Christian. It's okay. It's a lie. It's a lie. And Satan tells us, how wonderful we are through secular humanism. And we start to believe it. It's a lie. It's a lie. Now, we can please God if we're doing God's will. But we're not going to please God much not doing God's will. Amen. It's pretty hard. It's pretty hard to say I can please God but I'm not doing that which He wants me to do. I'm not where He wants me to be. I'm not doing the thing that He's told me to do. It's pretty hard to say that's going to please Him. Just preach about pleasing God last week. And so deceit is one of the devil's devices. Something very close to that. The third thing is disguise. He is slick. He is so slick. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. But we don't believe it. We don't believe it. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. Years ago, we heard that when records were real popular and we heard about backmasking. You remember all that. And I told you that we backmasked a record one time, played it backwards, and oh, it was evil and wicked. And I mean, it said some things and all that. Satan is so slick that today you don't have to play it backwards. It's just right out there in the open. You just come and Christians say, oh, it's okay. It's all right. He's got a disguise. He's got a disguise. He looks good. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, the Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Another time he says that the devil, he appears as an angel of light. How do you suppose all the folks are going to start following the false prophet and the Antichrist if they don't look good? They're going to look real good. They're going to look very religious. False prophet, we've talked about in our Revelation class. False prophet is a religious leader, and he has followers that are religious people. Yeah. It's a disguise. Why? So people, their minds are blinded. They don't see the truth. They can't see it. Look at Matthew 13 and verse 19. Matthew 13 and verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. And Satan will do everything he can to catch away any of the Word of God that comes to you. He's going to do everything he can to hide the truth from us. That is one of his devices, hiding the truth from us. How can I weaken a Christian, the devil said? Well, I'll get him reading something that's not the Word of God. Boy, that's most places. I had somebody come the other day, and they were looking for a King James Bible. They said, I was trying to find a used Bible because I didn't have any money, and they went to Goodwill, they went to Salvation Army, they went to all the thrift stores all around, could not find a King James Bible. They went to the bookstore to try to find an inexpensive, and they had a hard time. Nobody has. They looked on the shelves. I said, well, you have to ask for them special. Yeah. Boy, the devil, he figured that one out, didn't he? Figured it out. Now, you know, seriously, I mean, the King James, we either have it or we don't. It is the Word of God or it's not the Word of God. And Satan is so good at disguising. Oh, well, this is religious. I remember one vacation Bible school. I don't remember which one it was, but the hero, I can't remember who he was. It could have been Coach Cletus Adidas. I'm not sure, but he had one of those little kids. I don't remember. It might have been Rita Reebok, and she brought an NIV to Bible school, and Coach Cletus Adidas took it and threw it down and said, "This is wicked. This is evil." And the phone rang. I had to answer the phone. They said, "Who's the guy that destroyed the NIV?" I said, "I don't know. He's not here." His name was Coach Cletus Adidas, and he's a busy man. But I said, I agree with him 100%. Why? Because it's a disguise. Hey, don't tell me that you can replace this. Don't tell. I'm telling you, it is one of the devil's devices that is destroying Christians' lives. And all we do, we let a little bit in. Oh, well, I'll just read it a little bit. You start reading these paraphrases, the bad news for modern man and all those different things and some of the new stuff that's coming out and groovy scripture for today and all that kind of stuff, and you'll like it. You'll like it. And you know what? It won't be long, and you will fall for the disguise of the devil. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's happening. You know, hey, he appears as an angel of light. That looks good. And people say, that is so good. Remember the serpent with Adam and Eve? Serpent wasn't a snake originally. That was the curse. The curse made the serpent into a snake, as we know it. And we don't like snakes. Not a good thing. But I'm going to tell you, the serpent was a beautiful creature. The Bible says was a subtle creature. And that creature was able to talk to Eve, and Eve didn't go, ah! Eve talked to the serpent. Wasn't a shock. Didn't surprise her. Didn't scare her. I believe a beautiful creature before sin, before it was used by Satan. And it looked good. Disguised as good, disguised as intelligent, disguised as religious, but it'll blind your mind. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do. And he disguises his intentions all the time. You know, what was abortion for? It was going to be because women get raped. And so we can't allow that to take place. We can't, huh? No. But now it's, and for all these years, it has had nothing to do with rape. It's had to do with convenience and inconvenience. And now it's okay to murder. By the way, if it's okay to murder because it's inconvenient, a little baby, how soon will it be when we old people are getting inconvenient? Huh? That's next, folks. It's coming. And I'm telling you, blind mind. Well, you know, relationships are all about love. Ah. And so sodomy has become accepted. I don't know what the percentage of people that actually are in homosexual relationships, but maybe 12, maybe 15, I don't know. It's very little. Why then are all the laws going the way they are where we have to accept all these things? I don't know how many guys want to be girls and girls want to be guys. I can't even imagine what that's all about. But why are we the ones that are going to have to deal with going into a restroom and not knowing what it is that is there with us? But we're the one. Oh, but you know what's happened? Blind minds. Because Satan has disguised himself looking good. And we fall for it. All these, the gun laws, folks, look out. Look out. I'm telling you, there are things on the horizon. We have no idea what all's going on. But I'm telling you, blind minds accept this stuff. Because, well, people were killed. Don't you know people were shot down? And we need to do something about these guns. And the people that shot them down, they're all independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptists, right? You know, they've got their, this was somebody had their gun locked up, right? And had a lock on it. And they were taught gun safety. No, this was somebody that was just, should never have had access because of their mental capabilities and lack of mental capabilities. But it's not you, but I'm going to tell you what, they're going to be after yours. Why? Because they have a blind mind. Humanism is for blind minds. Man is the measure of all things. It's a blind mind that would accept that. It's a blind mind that would accept that man is anything but a sinner. Amen. And all these blind minds. And now, you know, we have more people living together than we have ever seen. I mean, it's unbelievable. People are choosing not to get married. Well, we got to try it out. You haven't tried anything out. All you've done is satisfy your animal lust. You haven't tried anything out. Living together is not marriage. Chuck, how long have you and Donna been married? Donna, how long have you and Chuck been married? I shouldn't have done that. 64 years next month. Amen. Now that's what marriage is all about. Has it always just been fun and games? Chuck? Yeah. Yes! And every man says, amen, that's right. But, that's what marriage is all about. Marriage is commitment. Marriage is, honey, I do. Marriage is for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness, in health. That's what marriage is. It's not just about like animals in a barnyard. But we get, our minds get blind. Our minds get blind. Because Satan has his disguise, and he's smooth, and he's slick. He's slick. Yeah. And you know, used to be we'd get outraged about some of the junk, the rock music, and some of the filth that goes on the halftime of the Super Bowl. Well, churches are now showing it in their services. And it's like, it's the minds are blind, you know, because Satan... he's not going to come looking evil. He's not going to come looking nasty. He's going to come like an angel of light and say, oh, how can I help you? What can I do to help you? And so disguise is one of our devices. Disobedience, deceit, disguise. Here's the fourth thing, division. Division. Boy, if he can split you off, If he can split you off from somebody who's helping you grow spiritually, you know, iron sharpeneth iron. If he can split iron away from you and replace it with butter, boy, he's got that figured out, doesn't he? Oh, yeah, he's got it figured out. Hey, you know, you ever wonder what in the world you got in that argument about in the first place? You know, after several days, by the way, what are we arguing about? I don't know, but I'm right. That was it! You know? Hey, wait a minute. Division. Okay, Adam and Eve. What did he do? Eve, you know, he went to the weaker vessel. Sorry, ladies, that's what the Bible says. I didn't write it. He went to the weaker vessel. And Eve, then she takes it to Adam. But Adam was an idiot. Amen, ladies, you can wave a hanky or something. But the truth of the matter is, what's Adam doing immediately? Well, the woman now gave us. There's two divisions took place right there. Do you understand that? Two divisions. Well, yeah, I understand with Eve that was a problem. Yeah, I guess it was. But there was also a problem because he blamed God. The woman thou gavest me. He loves that division, doesn't he? He loves to divide. John 13, verse 2. John 13 and verse 2. John 13, 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Division. Oh, Judas, you know, Judas, if he could have stayed close to Jesus, are you listening? If he could have just stayed close to Jesus. If he could have forgot about the money that was involved and the silver that he could if he could have just stayed close. We see Judas in the book of Acts hanging himself, and the Bible says he falls headlong and his bowels burst open. Why? Well, because he got split up by division. Cain and Abel, brothers. What are they supposed to? They should love each other. And they got split. Divorce is rampant. Church splits. And the devil loves it. Why? Because it divides us. We get divided. You get divided off. Friendships, where iron sharpeneth iron. I said that. Don't sell that short. I'm serious about that thing. There's people that you got friendships, you got relationships you've had for years, and you help each other, and you've helped each other grow. And all of a sudden, just because he parked in my spot, they sat in my seat. They don't like the color I like, you know, whatever it may be. And all of a sudden, that's wiped out. And every time that happens, somebody goes down spiritually. Happens all the time. That's why Proverbs chapter 6, two times in Proverbs 6, the Bible indicates, first of all, God hates something. Second of all, God calls it an abomination, which is the worst hatred God can have. What is that? It's sowing discord. That's among the brethren, but it's sowing discord. Why, ma'am, why in the world do you talk to other women about your husband? Worse yet, why do you talk to other men about your husband? Why do we do this? You know, the sowing of discord is something God hates. Why? Because it divides. It divides. I do need to remind you, in Malachi, the Bible says God hates putting away. That's the word for divorce. He hates it. Hates it. Now, I love people that are divorced, and God loves people that are divorced, but we hate the divorce. Somebody amen. We hate it. It's because it divides. You say, well, it's the best thing. I'm not going to argue about any of that, but the fact that it didn't work is we hate it because of the division that takes place. The division in a home. Oh, by the way, when a Christian sins, all you have to do is go back to Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned. And there's God, the place they always met, in the garden in the cool of the evening. Adam, and where's Adam and Eve? Oh, they're hiding. They're in their fig leaf clothing, hiding as best they can from God. And boy, there's nothing worse in this world than a Christian being away from God. That's why the Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. That's why the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it is why we give an altar call every service. Why? Because you cannot be away from God for a very long time without going down. Because you're divided from the vine. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And if I'm divided from the vine, I don't have the nourishment. I don't have the sustenance. I cannot bear fruit. And I'm going to be withered and do nothing for God. Division. It's one of his devices. Oh, he'd love you to get mad at brother so-and-so and sister such-and-such. He'd love you to get upset at your loved one. He'd love you to get, oh yeah, kids, he loves it when you're mad at your parents. He loves it. He loves it. He wants you to be divided from them. And he loves to stir up trouble. Division, it's one of his devices. Number five is discouragement. Discouragement. Well, we see it. And we see his bony, nasty fingerprints all over the Bible. with discouragement. I mean, and as a pastor, I've seen it so many times, but in the Bible, I think of Samson after he slew 1,000 with a jawbone of a donkey. You know, he should have been saying, "Hallelujah, glory to God, I couldn't do this, God did this." And instead, "I'm thirsty. God's going to let me die of thirst." You say, "Boy, I just can't believe Samson was like that." Come on, what are you getting discouraged about? "They said it's going to snow again." Probably will. It's Michigan. Elijah, he's just won a great victory. I mean, he did things that I only, if I just had the guts. I mean, during a drought, you know, pour the barrels of water on the altar. That amazes me. It really does. Those are our last barrels of water. "I don't care. I'm the man of God. Pour the water out there. Glory to God. God's going to take care of it." And in his mind, he's got to be thinking, "I hope." The great, great victory. And then he sits under a juniper tree. "I'm lonely." I know it can be lonely. It really can. But he got discouraged. David, after the Amalekites attacked Ziklag, Bible says he had to encourage himself. You know? That means, what's that mean? That means nobody was there to encourage him. His wife had been kidnapped. You know? You say, "Well, I wish my wife would." Well, we'll get on that another time. But there wasn't anybody coming up to David saying, "David, it'll be all right, buddy. I'll pray for you, bless God." David, you know, it was tough. And the Bible says the people spake of stoning him. It's a tough time, David. Yeah, and he got discouraged. The whole tribe of Judah. Nehemiah's come in and he said, "We're going to rebuild the walls and God's going to do it. And praise God, I'm excited." And the whole tribe of Judah, that's the line of Jesus. They're supposed to be more spiritual than that. And the Bible says they got discouraged because they had to clean up the mess. And the mess was big. By the way, cleaning up messes can really be discouraging. Yeah. Discouragement. I guarantee there's people in this, you deal with this. But you need to deal with it. You need to be encouraged. I've said this so many times, and I've been criticized here lately so many times about this thing. I don't care what it is you've got that's negative, I'll give you a positive. One of the things that, one of my goals when I counsel somebody and they come in discouraged, they're not going to leave discouraged. Now they, you know, right at first, they got the guard up. And they'll say something negative, and I'll say something positive. Say, "Isn't that good?" And they'll say, "I knew you'd say that." "No, that's not." You know? But after a while, come on, folks, honestly, because it all comes back to this. Are you saved or not? Are you going to heaven? This isn't it. It's going to get better. Praise the Lord. Snow will melt. If not here or there. Roof will be fixed. If not here or there. Amen. I mean, it is going to get better. Oh, amen. It is. Discouragement. Number six, I only have two more. And that's one of his devices is disappointment. It's kind of like discouragement. Only it's just that disappointment. 2 Corinthians 2, back to our text. And it's talking about the devil's devices. But it really is interesting how Paul deals with the people. And I believe this is in reference to the first letter to the Corinthians. And just dealing with their sin. It was a carnal bunch of people. You deal with a carnal bunch of people, and I'm telling you, it can be a tough thing. Because carnality, you know, there's just discouragement, and there's all these devices are manifest in their lives. But Paul says this, he says in verse 1, "I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness." And that doesn't mean that he was going to go on a diet. That meant I'm not going to come sad. I'm not going to come to you discouraged. Because he said in verse 2, "If I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad? But the same which is made sorry by me." And so if I come to Tim and woe is me, and on Monday I say, yeah, it's a Monday, it's terrible, everything's bad, and nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I'm going to go eat worms. And he says, well, go eat worms then, you know. And so I've discouraged him, and now what's he going to do? He's going to mope around for a while, and he'll discourage me. So instead, I've chosen to come in on Monday and say, well, praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Wasn't that a great day? Well, amen. Wasn't it a good day, Sunday? God's so good. Huh? And you know, sometimes people kind of look around like, well, I don't know. Can we vote on it? You know? Well, seriously, ma'am, your husband comes home from work and you light into him about all the bad day that you just had. And then you go to bed and you say, why are you such a grouch? Well, he's a grouch because you made him a grouch. That's why he's a grouch, and it works both ways. That's what Paul's saying here. You didn't catch that in the Greek, did you? If I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad? See, if you're going to walk around being, grouchy and grumpy all the time, and then you turn around and get on Facebook and say, yeah, everybody I was around today was grouchy and grumpy. Hello! The truth of the matter is, why don't you rejoice in the Lord? Paul, he says, I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. He said, I ought to rejoice with you. We ought to rejoice. So much to rejoice about. That's why when the first time I walked out and I saw that big tent thing over the stairway there, I thought, we need the Word of God up here on this thing. Amen. We need something good. We need to see that, you know, God is still God. God is on the throne. God's got it all under control, and we just need to rejoice. And if he didn't look like it was under control, and the whole thing caved in, preferably not with us under it, you know what? It's okay. Because he's God. Am I getting loud, Kenny? Okay, I thought you were, I don't want to be too loud. But you see, it was such a huge disappointment to Paul. Verse 4, out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. And there was a disappointment. He was disappointed in this one Corinthian. Disappointed because the people wouldn't forgive him. Disappointed because of the sin. Disappointment because of so many things. And we all have disappointments, and those disappointments, they do bring some sorrow. But Paul still said, but I refused to come to you in heaviness. Sure, I'm disappointed. Sure, there are some things that I wish were different. Sure, I wish that this man was not punished. Sure, I wish that this did not happen. And over, I mean, he talks about that. And yes, I want you to respond differently to him. And we need to. But he said, you know what? I'm not gonna come and weep and cry and mope and hang down like the end has come. I'm not gonna do it. Why? Because he recognized one of the devil's devices. He saw it. And he wasn't going to let it affect him. He was not going to let it affect him. That's why he goes on. And he says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. You know what? How he'll get an advantage over you is when you're disappointed. Oh, he is just so quick to jump on that. Yeah, your kids, you see your parents do something and it disappoints you. Or they tell you something and they can't necessarily do it and you're disappointed. Or something happens. You maybe make a promise to God and you can't do it and there's disappointment and Satan comes in and he gives you a hard time about it. And it's not long and his device is he's got an advantage and he uses it to smash you down. Disappointment. Paul said, you know what? I'm not going to show my disappointment. Because I don't want people to be disappointed. I'm gonna let everybody know everything's okay. it's okay. And then the last thing, number one, he uses disobedience. Number two, deceit. Number three, disguise. Number four, division. Number five, discouragement. Number six, disappointment. And the last thing, number seven, is death. Death. 1 Peter 5:8. You know it. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Devour. Devour lost into hell, or a Christian into doing nothing. Oh, yeah. Yeah. One of his devices that he uses, death. Death. How many lives are wasted because a Christian got so far away from the things of God? You see it, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 5, the very thing I believe Paul was talking about. A case of immorality, 1 Corinthians 5:5, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Oh, yeah. Yeah, just make us so absolutely worthless that God says, I guess they can just go home. Death. It is the way, it's the wages of sin. And marriages die. A person's service dies. Boy, how many? How many, because of one of these things, now their service is dead? You know, how many Christians, and as a pastor, I've watched it happen so many times that somebody is on fire for God, serving the Lord, and Satan got an advantage, and then the death of their serving God, it's dead. Brother Bailey and I were talking today about folks and how they get so down and discouraged and messed up because of circumstances that are going on, and they never get back to doing anything for God. It's death. Might as well have a funeral. The death of somebody's service, the death of relationships, the death of time. Boy, how much time we waste in sin. The death of a testimony. Yeah. Death. And so the Bible says in verse 9 of 1 Peter 5, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Resist. Resist the devil, James says, and he'll flee. He'll flee. The sad truth is so many just kind of give in to the devil's devices. You know, somebody has a word to say about somebody else and boy, you're divided. Satan whispers about, well, you don't have to do that. That's not, you don't have to do that. They're not your boss. And you're divided. And you're disobeying. Oh, you know, there's snow coming. And you're discouraged. Yeah. Oh, folks, listen. We are not ignorant. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. We need to resist the devil. I mean, every time these things creep into your mind, you need to kick them out. Amen. And resist. I close with Job 5. Leave you with this passage. Job chapter 5. You ought to mark this down. Job 5 and verse 7. Talking about God. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. Amen? Why? Well, because we're born unto trouble. We do get in trouble as the sparks fly upward. And he says, I'd seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. That's my God. He does those things. Who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields, to set up on high those that be low. Amen. That those which mourn may be exalted to safety. And watch what he does. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. Oh, we have a crafty one, and he has some devices. And God is quite willing to disappoint him. He's quite willing to deliver you and to give you victory. He's quite able to give you victory. Hey, you know what? Any of these things, all of these things, they knock on our door all the time. But we're not ignorant. Amen? We're not ignorant. It's kind of like when the phone rings and we don't recognize a number. We don't answer it. Because we're not ignorant. Because last time I did answer it, hello, this is so-and-so from such-and-such, and I want to sell you this. And please don't hang up because I have to go through this whole spiel for the next 20 minutes. We're not ignorant of their devices, amen. But seriously, we know his devices. We also know our God's able to give us victory. You say, preacher, I've fallen for some of these things, and I'm kind of in a trap. Job says, he disappointeth the devices of the crafty. He can deliver you. He can give you victory. If there's division, he can put you back together. If there's discouragement, he can make you rejoice. If there's disappointment, he can show you that joy cometh in the morning. I mean, if there's disobedience, he can show you the blood where you can confess and get right with God. If there's deceit, he can show you the truth. If there's a disguise, he can peel back the disguise and show you it's the devil. And he can give you victory.